And it's 16 and a half minutes past six here on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader. Now, we're going to be focusing on money management within your relationship or your marriage. I know. It's one of those things, Nail, you don't want to talk about, but we must. We must.
Yes,
how
yes.
do you go about ensuring that you're both on the right financial page and that you don't find yourselves in financial trouble? And in this regard, we're also going to look at the marriage contract that you should be considering before you tie the knot. But if you have already, don't worry. We'll tell you how to get out of it. Not the marriage itself, but, you know, that contract.
Yeah.
Not the knot itself. Yeah. So if you've got some questions about this, maybe you are about to get married or you are married already and you are struggling with dealing with financial issues and talking about it, do give us a call. The number is 011-731-8500. That's 011-731-8500. Tweet us at MoneyWeb Radio or at Siki Mgabadeli. You can also SMS Market to 34701. We're giving away, like we did last week, a book today. First person to ask a question, so call us on those numbers. And the book is by Douglas Kruger, and it's titled "Is Your Thinking Keeping You Poor?" Sorry. Because I think this is me. I think I should win the book. 50 Ways the Rich Think Differently. It's a book by Douglas Kruger. So if you want to think differently and maybe then make some money, so do call us. 011-731-8500. Let me welcome my guest, Marisa Kurz, who is director at Clark's Attorneys, and Eunice Sibiya, who's head of consumer education at FNB. Thanks so much to both of you for your time today. This is the most uncomfortable conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, I think for women particularly, it's even worse than asking for a raise at work.
Yeah. Because you just never know what look you're going to get, hey?
Yeah.
And it's not a romantic topic to discuss. You know, it doesn't make pillow talk.
Mm, but why is it important to have it?
Look, I do think just from my side, I always try to explain to clients that it doesn't have to be a negative approach. I think it's the approach there too that you have to look at. You're trying to get married, have a happy life together.
Yes.
It's a partnership. The contract itself solidifies and is an extension of that partnership. So you don't have to go into it thinking, well, this is my contract for if I get divorced.
Yes.
It's a management of your money, not necessarily, you know, in case of divorce, pull out this lever.
Yeah. I generally go into a relationship already planning for the breakup. So,
you know,
maybe I'd need to change that. No, I'm a problem.
Your thinking is the problem.
Okay. So let's start with the contracts themselves. So when you get married in South Africa, what is the default?
Options.
What are the different options?
All right. So there are several options that you have. The most important of this to remember is that contract has to be done before you get married. In South Africa, you can get married in two different ways, in or out of community of property.
Yes.
In community means everything's in the same pot, debts, assets, liabilities, before, after, doesn't matter, it's all in the same pot. Out of community property is what's yours is yours, and what's mine is mine.
Mm-hmm.
You can then, in a contract, decide, because out of community of property, you need to enter into a contract. You can add to that to say, I'd like to get married with the accrual system.
Okay.
That allows for a sharing for what you accrued during the marriage.
Okay.
Right. And you can set terms in that, things like, I don't want my pension fund included, or my business, or I have R1 million in the bank and I don't want that included. So you can choose how you're actually going to structure it in that contract.
Okay. And you can change it once you've been married?
You can
enter
into a notarial contract, a post-nuptial contract. It is an administrative nightmare, and it you have to do it through the court. It's not something that you can just draw up and have registered like a before marriage contract.
Yeah,
there is a lot of, you've got to have a government gazette notice. You've got to give notice to all your creditors. You know, so you've got to write to your banks, etc. You've got to apply to the court and show them the contract, and then they agree whether you can change it or not. Because obviously your creditors also have an interest in
because,
this contract.
Yeah.
But it's not undoable. It's just that it's not a difficult process. It's just administratively sort of heavy on the paperwork.
Okay. Mm. So this says to me, Eunice, that this is a conversation that's very important to have, and you must have some sort of an approach to it. So let's talk about that.
Extremely important, Siki. For the side of finances, it doesn't matter which option or contract you enter into. Financial management is important for everybody, from a child
definitely,
all the way to a grant recipient, an old person. Whoever has any level of engagement with finances needs to be taught how to manage their finances. So particularly then for today's topic, it is you as an individual entering into this partnership of whichever kind that you're going to choose. You need to have some financial discipline yourself. You are now merging. I am female. I now am going to get married to whoever, Mr. X. I do not know Mr. X's financial patterns.
What he's been doing.
What he hasn't been doing. Yeah. What he has, what he doesn't have. The same applies. He probably saw me wherever, dressed in a particular way, and he thought, oh, I like that lady. He doesn't know my habits.
Oh, my, you are swiping your card.
That's the thing. He doesn't know how much debt I have and all of those things. So it becomes a problem. People come together on the platform based on love, but there are many other elements that needs to get factored into that arrangement, and finances is one key element, because almost everything that we're going to do has to have a financial component to it, a financial...
Who buys the groceries? Who pays for the car? Who pays for the house?
And all we need to have these conversations before. And I know I listen to lots and lots of conversations and interviews, and people ask, at what point do we talk finances? That is now once we are dating. Is it 3 months into the relationship? Is it on day one when he still says, sis, I think I like you? or is it after we're married and we've changed the contract, and then we ask, by the way, how much do you earn? I don't have a definite answer myself.
Yeah.
At some point during the relationship, one of you or both of you must decide that, you know, maybe it's time that we talk.
That we have this conversation.
It is very important.
All right. Let's take a call from Terry in Port Elizabeth. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, and you?
Good, thank you. I just wanted to find out when we're getting married on the 4th of October, but I wanted to find out...
Congrats.
Thank you. Signing the contract either in community or out of community, what is the tax benefit and how does it work? A lot of people have said to me, don't do in community because your tax benefits aren't as beneficial as what it would be out of community.
Look, just from my side, look, I'm not a financial planner, so I can't really talk to your tax benefits per se. But certainly your concern is if you're married in community of property, you're almost jointly and severally liable in every single aspect. So, for example, let's say you're an entrepreneur and you have a business and your business goes under, your husband automatically gets attached part of it because you're one person for the purposes of your finances if you're married in community of property. So it does create a mechanism to protect yourself, and obviously there would be tax benefits that flow from that for either party. But I would suggest in your particular question as to tax benefits that you just give a financial planner a call and find out from a tax perspective, what is the benefit? But from a legal perspective, the benefit is that you remain, if you're married out of community of property, whether with or without the accrual, you are a separate legal individual entity. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you married in community of property, you are a joint singular entity for the purposes of your finances.
Okay.
When you get your, whenever you've decided what contract you want to get into place, how difficult is it to put in the accrual or to take it out, or if you've only decided, is it easier to do it before marriage, or how does it work?
No, you definitely.
Let me do this. Terry, she's going to respond to you in a moment. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line because you get the book.
Woohoo!
Okay.
Oh, congratulations.
Okay. Is your thinking keeping you poor? That's the book. So stay in the line and just listen to the answer.
All right. In terms of the accrual system, that's something that's included in the contract. So when you go and talk to your attorney now as to the antenuptial contract you want to enter into, if you want to get married out of community of property, that contract includes or excludes the accrual system. And your attorney can talk you through, like I said, the various sort of provisions on that, whether you want to put exclusions in terms of property or a financial amount. But the accrual system allows for you to still share in the benefit of being in this partnership, of, you know, sort of working together and creating wealth together. And then if something had to happen upon death or divorce, you get to share in it. But that is certainly something you do before you get married. You go and speak to your lawyer and you get a contract drafted out of community of property with the accrual, and he can explain all of various options to you.
That are there. Okay, and I want to talk about bank accounts, Eunice. We're going to do that in a moment. We're talking about managing your finances in a relationship, in a marriage, in conversation with Marissa Kurz, who is a director at Clark's Attorneys, and Eunice Sibiya, who's head of consumer education at F&B. So let's talk about bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it? Do we have such a thing as a joint bank account in South Africa? Actually?
We used to. Mm. Many banks used to have what is referred to a joint account.
Okay.
And I think they still are available, just that now they kind of, if I may use the term, fallen out of fashion.
Okay.
I don't see a take up of such any longer. But back in the day, it was common for some reason that you'd find a couple opting to have a joint account. And they could have a joint account for household purposes.
Yes.
And whereas they have separate accounts maybe for their income and
for
stuff
their
like
individual,
that.
Yeah.
And for a while, a very long while, many years ago, I used to see people having a joint account for income purposes as well. So your salary and my salary, that is Mr. X's salary, you know, both our salaries would go into the one account. And then we all work from that account and I used to see trouble. I used to see problems, I want to say, in those
Why?
Accounts. Because we would have issued two ATM cards for Mr. and Mrs. And Mrs. is swiping her way, you know, all the way to town. Mm. And Mr. is trying to count the pennies. And when they get home, he's like, and remember that back in the day, we didn't have the SMS.
Yeah, you didn't have the
texting,
notification.
The notification. Yeah. So month end, when he sees the statement, he feels that he has been mugged. In the meantime, he's mugged by his partner. She's been shopping and everything. I don't see an uptake of those anymore.
Yeah.
So most people prefer to have singular, you know, their own personal accounts. However, it is important to whichever way you opt to manage your finances, communication is key.
Mm.
Have ongoing conversations around your money. In fact, it's healthy to have it monthly, just to make sure that we know what's coming through. Is everything okay?
And you're planning for
and
things.
And you plan. And then if there's any additional, you know, maybe there's a trip or there's a funeral, there's a wedding, there's a shower, there's a gift for this one. So those things you plan in advance. But obviously the basic stuff, you know, happen, you know, they're regular and there's no need to change. But I just want to mention a couple of points that I've noted here that, you know, we underestimate the role of finances in a relationship.
Mm.
And I think statistics show that finances are is one of the key leading factors that lead to separation and into divorce.
Oh, yeah.
Because people fight a lot. Mm-hmm. And they fight because they don't understand the contract that they entered into, like Marissa was explaining earlier. But again, they fight just because the two individuals manage their finances differently.
Differently. Mm.
Extremely differently.
Okay.
And we know of the habits. And then there's also, again, that we need to have a structured approach. Because we are one household.
Mm.
Let's work towards the same goals. But we need to have sat down, drafted the goals together, agreed onto the goals and the how and when and everything else.
All right. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I wish we had more. We're going to revisit this. We have to, because there's so many questions. Thanks so much to Eunice Sibiya, Head of Consumer Education at F&B, and Marissa Kurz, who is Director at Clark's Attorneys. We're back on Monday. Bye-bye.